Good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And folks, real quick, a little bit of tuning. We were originally supposed to have Risk It from the Biscuit on from the Xbox Ultimate podcast. Unfortunately, the Xbox Infinite podcast. I'm sorry. But we kind of screwed up the time zones. He's in Australia. I'm in New York. So he's probably going to drop by tomorrow's Breakfast with Boom, which would be awesome. But I got two individuals here. Now, again, this is normally a one-on-one show, but I got lucky enough to get two unbelievable personalities here to talk about two very hot topics. First of all, Steel Rain, my brother, feeling better, out of the bed. The kids weren't sick, but you and your wife down for the count. It's so great to have you back, and you're healthy, and the missus is healthy. Welcome, brother. How you feeling?
Mr. Boomstick XL, what is going on back in the kingdom, man? Yeah, man, Steel Rain, Mr. Live Raw and Uncut himself, and one of the hosts of a little lovely podcast, the home of the RTS View, Living Split Screen. And, man, it's going to be a great time to be here today, man. There's some smoke to be had today, some things that we can talk about. Again, like I made a post yesterday on Twitter, it's always about the conversation. We should be willing to sit down, talk through things, disagree if we need to, or even agree to disagree mostly. So if anything, got some excited things to get into. Boom, Ubisoft Plus coming into Xbox in a very strange manner, but hey, they got you in too. So let's get into it, man.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes, that will be the opening salvo, if you will. Ubisoft Plus literally dropped into hot dropped, if you will, right now onto Xbox. It is not Xbox Game Pass. It is a separate fee, as it was advertised originally when it was announced on January 22nd of this year. It is $17.99. I put a poll in the chat, and it appears that it's not going well for Ubisoft, because 85% of you have said no dice to another subscription service, whereas Boom has already subscribed, folks, because, well, I really enjoy Ubisoft. And to be fair, I do appreciate the day and date drops. I am anticipating playing Assassin's Creed this year. Most of the games that are currently available, I already own. But like I was explaining to Steel Rain, in the last, 6 years, I have purchased just about every Ubisoft title that has been released, but folks, at the $100 rate, meaning I have always subscribed to the gold edition of said game. Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, Ghost Recon, whichever one it is, I have always purchased the $100 edition. So in retrospect, if, let's say, for instance, two of the three games I was buying this year, one of which is, I believe it's the new racing game that they're putting out, as well as, of course, the Assassin's Creed, that would have been a $200 investment because I always buy the gold edition packages. Now, I pay my $18 or $19 and change after tax. I put it on one of my cards, and I just forget that it exists, and I just enjoy these games without having to spend the $100. So for me, it's worth it. For everyone, it won't be. We're going to get into that in a second. But Fuzzy Belvedere, brother, you are always welcome to hang out with us. And today, I mean, obviously, we're going to be talking about the hot topic. You heard my opinion last night. And you know what? Let me just get introductions. I have something to say about the community. It's a bit frustrating and a little disappointing. But Fuzzy Belvedere, good morning. How you feeling, brother? Welcome. And thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. I'm glad to be here with you guys. It's always awesome to talk to you guys about gaming stuff. With Steel, it's usually on like Xbox Ultimate or FSP on occasion, or even on the Shop podcast. And it's always great talking with you, Boom, on your shows, Breakfast with Boom and Xbox Lunch Break Special. But glad to be here. Some just weird news this week from all parties, whether it be PlayStation with, you know, games leaving their service. Or,
yeah, you know, it's funny. That's going to be opening salvo tomorrow. I have a lot to say on that. And, you know, obviously we're talking about Ubisoft Plus. It's another subscription service. Mm-hmm. Steve has had it for many, many years, because obviously he has a really good rig that he allows him to take advantage of the bells and whistles that come with owning a PC. I don't have a PC like that. My Mrs. Boom is running a 3080 in her Alienware that I got it for Christmas. Her PC is ridiculous. This is just meant for podcasting. Maybe one day I'll, you know, put a rig together with a 40, you know, 4090 or something. I don't know, but I'm not a PC guy. So we're going to get into it, but before we even start, folks, look, I got to be honest. You know, I sometimes wear my heart on my sleeve, and I woke up this morning to some excitement and some disappointment. The excitement of today was Ubisoft Plus coming in, but it was also something else that I thought was really cool, for at least for me personally, and it's more of a personal thing than it should be a community topic. Clobriel, who I happened to mention live last night. Hey, Clobriel, what about a follow? Well, guess what, folks? I woke up this morning, Clobriel is following Mr. Boomstick XL, and that is pretty freaking cool. So I'm very happy about that. I've been a fan of Clobriel for many, many years. I'm always retweeting his stuff. I kind of fanboyed out, if you will. So I got to follow a prominent Xbox insider, so I'm very excited for that. So where my disappointment comes into play is, you know, one of the things that I pride myself in doing content for the community and presenting myself in a very clear and concise fashion with respect and dignity and integrity for this channel. Now, this is, again, folks, this started out as a hobby and now has become a full-on YouTube business. You know, I have merch that Mrs. Boomstick and I really and delicately put together with some incredible artists to make sure that what we were putting out was quality. We have channel membership, we have two tiers, we don't want more than that. We never did any of the other money engagement kind of things like Patreon, because I do 5 shows a week. I don't think I can add a 6th. So when I did have a Patreon many years ago, Mrs. Boomstick and I decided that we were not giving enough back to you. So we pulled it, and we didn't want to take the money because we felt as creators that we weren't bringing enough to the table. So we do it the way we do it. And why I'm disappointed with some people in this community is I woke up to some pretty heinous messages regarding my opinions about Redfall coming short or falling short of 60 frames per second. And why I'm disappointed, folks, is because if I was disingenuous and didn't take this serious, I would tell you, oh, sure, it's no problem. And why it bothers me is the same people, which will of course remain nameless, because we don't do that. We don't put people on public blast like that. The folks that unsubbed the channel or stopped following me, listen, that's your choice. I don't get offended in that. It's the messages that bother me. You cheer when we give Sony the business that's rightfully deserved, but you jeer me when I give Microsoft the same business. And you can't have it that way. It's got to be a two-way street, folks. When Microsoft makes a mistake, and this is without a doubt a mistake in a modern era, a modern console era that we are currently in, 60 FPS on a first-person game is unacceptable. I am sorry. I'm not going to cap for either company. They know that they effed up. So to suggest that I'm doing some sort of a fake outrage for clicks is not only insulting, but I don't even want to say what I think, honestly, because it's cursing. And I won't do that. I won't lower myself to that. So if you have unsubscribed, good on you. But understand that this is a channel built on integrity. And I am going to be honest with you. And sometimes Microsoft is going to get the smoke, just like they're getting today and yesterday. And when they make a mistake, it's our job as consumers to let them know that they made a mistake. Otherwise, they'll keep doing it to you the same way Sony keeps bending us over. So with that said, Steel Rain, we'll talk about Ubisoft Plus in a second because it's not the biggest topic of the show. I do want to talk about Redfall. This is a highly anticipated Xbox and PC exclusive. It is coming from a studio that is known for making incredible experiences, both in visual quality and story. I expect Redfall to look and play absolutely amazing, but what I will not stand for is anything less than or subpar development. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this game was delayed from last summer, which now we're closing in on the summer, which makes it a year, it is shocking to me. It is literally shocking to me that we have a game that is expected to be run and gun, that's expected to be fast paced. You're expected to be moving, shooting and moving on the go to only be at 30 frames per second. And I think that's a problem. Again, is it game destroying? No. Does this hurt Arkane's reputation? No. Am I going to play it at 30 frames? I actually don't know, folks. I don't know if I want to experience a first-person game at 30. I have a lot to play, so maybe I'll hold off to the patch. Mm-hmm. But, Steel, you are known on these YouTube streets, as the kids say, as being raw and uncut. Mm-hmm. And I expect no less from today's conversation. Is there anything wrong with telling a company that you're disappointed with something that is expected to be 60 FPS standard? Standard. That's standard in this modern age of gaming. What are your thoughts on this, dude?
Let's see. There's definitely a multitude of different ways that we could take it. I am like you. And again, I kind of constantly find myself in this where not necessarily upset with the community in a lot of ways, but just more so dumbfounded by the fact, again, here's another situation to where we can't simply have conversation without people saying, oh, well, it's games, get over it.
Or fake outrage
or coming up with whatever reason why we can't talk about it, right? Look, guys, like if I didn't care about the industry, if I didn't care about anything else beyond my own wants and needs, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this podcast with Boom. And that's part of the reason why, like on Living Split Screen, we coined the term that RTS view, because sometimes you have to pull yourself out of the world, look at the darker crevices of the map, and really take in the full view of what's going on. And for Redfall, for me, especially for them having a first-person shooter, again, if the 30 was their creative vision and that's the game that they wanted to make and they came out and said, hey, this is our game, then people would have to accept that, right? But it hits a little bit differently when you come out and say, oh, well, it's going to be this on release and we're going to work on this sometime down the road. We'll put it out. That kind of tells me, especially as someone who didn't have because again, I am an Xbox fan, but I'm not a loyalist. I'm not a loyalist to anybody. But if that did have to choose, it'd probably be more so in the favor of Xbox because I love the ecosystem. I don't just love every game that comes into Game Pass. I don't just play every game that comes into Game Pass. And I don't just have to suck it up just because it's coming into Game Pass. I'm still paying my dollar for it.
That's correct.
What's more kind of disturbing about this situation is that they also, earlier last week, tried to get you to buy the Bite Back Edition without even telling you that this was going to be the case.
You know what's funny, dude? Even before they told me that, the first day that that it was available to purchase, I paid my $35 or whatever it was after the 10% discount. No questions asked, Steel. Questions asked. Before I even knew what I was getting, I was already invested.
Because you were interested, right? And you wanting to jump into it. And I see people constantly making the argument for 30 FPS. Oh, everybody's expecting 4K 60 games. That's just not possible in this console generation. Ladies and gentlemen, these publishers and these developers have also told you that we have upscaling technology now, that we have other ways to achieve the same thing and give you more performance. Xbox themselves and their marketing strategy. And again, marketing strategies are what they are. They're strategies and they work. I mean, again, you see how many people have bought these series consoles and have invested in this generation of games and have made the point that frames per second were going to be of importance this generation. Why? Because the feeling in games matters more than anybody will ever understand. Until we can remove ourselves where 60 FPS is truly the baseline, people will not come to understand why there's a, why that is a difference. It's not just because of one thing or the other thing. It's a mixture of things. And no, I cannot explain that feeling enough to you without more people being able to experience it on a consistent basis. Now, on the backside of that, the argument that people make is like, oh, well, I care about graphics. Great. Nobody said that they have to sacrifice graphics. Matter of fact, what I'm telling you is, and why this is frustrating to me, is because it's a first-party game, again, 3 years into the console generation, not utilizing the breadth of the most powerful console that they claim. That's a fact. And if you want to ignore that fact and say, oh, well, we need an Xbox Pro. have you had a point? Have you seen anything on your console to date that's like, man, this could not have been possible 2 years ago? Anything? I don't think so.
Right. I agree. Yet
to see a game that has been put out to take full breadth of whatever console that we have now. So what? Are we just going to continue to wait again another 7 years to see what
the can I ask a question here? It goes completely in line with your with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Aren't we expecting okay, let me see if I can phrase it correctly. Shouldn't we expect at least Steel that Xbox Game Studios take full advantage of their own first party box?
Yes, I mean, that's kind of been the point, right? And some people are like, oh man, look at that emotion he's got in this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to me, I just speak with a very passionate voice. But no, in this situation, we just want to see Xbox in this circumstance, PlayStation, if you want to throw it in there, because people always go back to Forspoken, which is, again, is a third-party game. It's not first-party. From first-party games or from the first-party studios, to see them fully utilize what their hardware is capable of. Now, there are a lot of different factors that go into this. Bethesda just got, ZeniMax just got rolled in to be part of Xbox within the last few years. So that's understandable. This game conceptually was not started underneath the Xbox banner. So maybe all the help that they needed and the additional infrastructure that they could have used to make sure that they had the option for you up front, they won't have until, as they mentioned, at a later date. But it is a negative mark. It is a stink on the current console generation because, unlike previous console generations where games were being made specifically for the console, where guys, I don't know if you forgot, but we just came from, I mentioned this in the back, we just came from Jaguar cores. We just came from an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4 that on release of those consoles were already 3 years behind.
Yes.
In technology, at least. To now, and I want you guys to understand this difference. To now having an 8-core 16-thread processor in a new box more in line with what PCs are currently getting, along with the SSD architecture known as Velocity in the Xbox and then Kraken in the PlayStation. And I know Velocity also does other things with fast compression and so on and so forth. But the reason I bring that up is because for the first time, consoles are either on the curve or slightly ahead of the curve. And again, it's hard to be on top of technology because it always advances every 6 months. if not faster, a little bit faster at this point. And again, there is a difference between trying to create something for a closed system versus something that is open where you can interchange parts, right? I don't think we should ever get to that point where we have to make a console that needs to, you need to change this brick and do this. And yeah, I mean, I just don't see that. So, and I get why people say, oh, well, you shouldn't expect 4K 60. But again, to my point that I was making earlier, things don't have to be native 4K in order for you to still have that graphical fidelity that you're looking for. You shouldn't have to sacrifice your detailing games to get 4K. And that's what we're still getting now, right? If we're going to talk about the upscaling technologies and all the other things that they can use in the development side of things to help garner more performance in your games so that you can feel what the difference is, right? And again, if you want to decide with 3060, they give you those modes of performance and graphical fidelity, and you're like, oh man, I don't really see the difference, then great, that's you. But I'm telling you, there is a vivid and valid difference. To me, this situation is almost unacceptable, and I'm not going to play the game, even though I have a PC. My way to kind of bite back is, pun intended.
I see what you did there. I like it.
is to, one, I'm not going to play the game because Game Pass has me in pocket already. So they're going to get my investment for that regardless. But Microsoft does pay attention to, Xbox does pay attention to engagement. And for me, I would rather not engage with the game because the people that I was going to play the game with are not going to get the experience that I feel is needed for this game. Now, again, that's a personal preference. You guys decide what you want. Again, I've been on record saying that I already was a little bit standoffish about this entire scenario, but I want to add it on with this, and then we could pass it on because I don't want to go on for forever because I can.
Well, that's why you have an awesome four-hour show every Saturday with Pong Soul, brother, because you guys drop it like it's hot. And we appreciate the work.
I try to touch on things from multitude of different angles and have a full breadth conversation because there is a multitude of different angles that people can come from. So I just try to hit those points. But nonetheless, the biggest thing for me is I'm tired of the mentality of put it out now and fix it later. Just get it out to get it out.
Yeah.
I get that there's, like, again, there are deadlines, and you should hit those deadlines. But we can't say that there's deadlines and then there's no crunch. That doesn't go hand in hand with each other. Right. If there's a deadline, there is crunch. There has to be crunch because you have to get things done. And again, in this aspect, and part of the reason why I'm not going to invest my time, which is more precious than anything else, into this title is because it's like you're blatantly telling me that the game isn't quite finished yet, but we're working on making it a complete experience. And my thing about this, and again, I feel like I'm going to end up being a right again on this for another title, is that I'm going to end up 3 to 6 months later getting a better experience or having the full or being able to experience the full breadth of the game 6 months later versus day one. And I thought we were trying to get back to fully complete games, fully fleshed out games. And we can't say that the game is finished and then they come out and say, oh, we're going to add this mode later. That's not finished. And what reality is a first person game playing at 30 frames been acceptable or been okay,
especially in a first person shooter? See, that's really where the crux of the conversation comes into play. Now, again, I think right now we're having a different conversation if Arkane comes out and says, hey folks, we're launching at 60 FPS and we're working towards the 120 mode that will come at a later date. Yeah. Then what we all do is we go, oh, okay, not a problem. Wow, it's going to be 120? That's awesome. But at least the standard, as expected by many gamers, at 60 FPS for shooters. Because I had a gentleman, he wasn't arguing with me. He made a comment. He didn't like what I had to say about the 30 frames. And he brought up an interesting point about how I publicly and stated multiple times how I enjoyed Gotham Knights at 30 frames. I didn't have a problem with it. And there's, and you know, the difference simply is that Gotham Knights is a third person game. It's an action game. It's a story driven over the shoulder third person type of experience where the environment is also helping tell the story of what's going on in Gotham.
It's also third party boom. It's also being made by underneath a publisher that is struggling currently.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, you know what? I didn't even consider any of that. Yeah, that's.
I mean, these are things that people like to make these comparisons, but don't pull themselves out of the world to look at the darker places. These are the facts. If you want to compare this to all these other games, this is a first party game.
Yeah.
Supposedly using its first party hardware. It's like Apple coming out and saying, oh, well, you know, we have this great camera technology, but when you know, for your photos, you could take the photos, but the resolution, it'll come later. We'll update that later so it'll be full resolution.
Yeah. And that's a great
That wouldn't fly.
No, it wouldn't fly. People would be pissed and outraged the same way. And again, folks, let's be real here. This is I'm not outraged. I said it. I am disappointed. Mm-hmm. I am disappointed. Outraged is if someone gets robbed in my building and I wasn't there to try and help that person, being a retired New York City police officer. That's outrage. Mm-hmm. Someone you hear a heinous situation where you were just standing there to get your coffee and they got popped. That's outrage. This is just video games, folks.
Yeah.
No one's outraged, but I have every right as a consumer to be disappointed. And first of all, and I said this last night's deal, if an Xbox fan isn't allowed to speak, is allowed to tell the world that Xbox did something great, they should also be allowed to say when Xbox does something wrong. And you hit it literally on the head. The fact that this is a first-party game, you have to understand the 23 studios currently under XGS have the magic keys to the secret door that no one else has. And they can at will offer the greatest or should offer the greatest specs and appearance and playability of any game that's first party because it's first party. That is what is expected. And that has not been the case. Yes, Forza is amazing. Yes, Hi-Fi Rush, literally, folks, a perfect game. But we also have to go, and the reason why this is magnified is the fact that 2023 is expected to be the greatest year in Xbox history. And we started off magnificent with a surprise hit in Hi-Fi Rush from a studio that most people didn't even know was Xbox first party. Mm-hmm. And then we have Arkane, who has never missed, folks. They come out with games. Now, maybe they don't sell well, but they certainly are critically, come to fame and fortune. Mm-hmm. The critics, they're absolutely recognized. Now, I'm not saying that this is not going to be recognized, but like I said, there are a couple. You see, a giant snowball. Mm-hmm. That's rolling down the mountain and gaining momentum starts off with a snowflake. And why this is magnified specifically this week is because Ghostwire Tokyo finally released onto Xbox after being an exclusive for PlayStation for a year. And the games has great graphics. It has incredible story. It has incredible lore. But unfortunately, all of that is marred by the fact that it's not enhanced for the Xbox Series X. And to me, it doesn't make any sense. It's a first-party IP. This was waiting on the shelf for a year. This should have been enhanced, folks. And then, of course, on top of that, you get this horrendous showing by IGN. Now, that's not Xbox's fault. That's IGN's fault, where the reviewer or the player, the previewer, had no idea what he or she was doing, and they uploaded it up in 1080p, which was awful. And then you have this new information that drops out a week after them telling you, hey, go buy our Bite Back Edition. Yeah, go buy it. It's mm-hmm. it's $30 and it's like $27 after, you know, your discount. That's awesome. I told you guys, I bought it the minute it came available because I'm all in. But this is, again, it's magnified because of everything that happened before it. So look, let me catch up on the two super chats and I'm going to get in to what Fuzzy has to say. First of all, Mark Cox in the chat drops a very generous $2 super chat. Mark, thank you so much for being here, brother. And of course, thank you for the generosity. He says true fans compliment and complain. Mm-hmm. Great job. Boom. Thank you for the vote of confidence. And I think that if you are someone that has followed this channel for since its inception back in 2017, I'm a rah-rah guy. I get excited for games. I'm like a big old nerd, but I am not. And I refuse to fall in line and not say my piece when they get it wrong. I will cheer and I will congratulate and I'll put you up on my shoulders and I'll carry around the whole town. Mm-hmm. But when you get it wrong, it is my job as a consumer to let you know you got it wrong. And I have never done it in for clicks or likes or subs. I do it tactfully and I do it respectively because I'm not a dev. I don't know how to make games. So I understand it's a hard job, but at the same time, it's a job that you took and you're responsible to put your best foot forward when putting out a game, especially when it's first party. That's all I'll say on that. We have another big super chat coming in from Dreadful Sean. He drops, folks, a $20 super chat. And he says this, Kasante mentioned it last night. Redfall started as a multi-plat title.
The doesn't PS5, matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how it started. You know why? Because it's first party now. Hey, Xbox, I thought we were trying to work on a better representation for your gamers or a better representation for your system, for your ecosystem. This isn't better representation.
No. No, it's unfortunately it will be when it's running at 60, but it's true. He goes on to say the PlayStation doesn't have these same tools. Redfall was already multi-years into development when they were acquired. Should they have scrapped that dev time? I don't know. I mean, listen, I can't comment because I'm not a tech guy, folks. I'm also not a developer. I don't know how hard it is to switch from one engine to another or to switch from 30 to 60 and from 60 to 120. I'd be lying to you if I could give you that. And I don't lie on these podcasts. I don't need to lie. I give you my honest opinion. So I couldn't tell you. What I can say is that standard for shooters in the modern age of gaming is 60 FPS. And I say that because a game like Dishonored on the Xbox 360 had 60 FPS. Now you're telling me this game that is expected to be huge and it is a first party IP where first party IPs are expected to be the standard of standout. You know, when you see a Sony game come out, you know it was done by Naughty Dog or Sony Santa Monica or Insomniac Games because it stands proud and it's praised. And they put their best foot forward. Now, do they get it wrong sometimes, like Gran Turismo 7? Yes. And we call them out for it. And we tell people that we're not happy with it. No one goes out of their way to be a D-bag. Yeah. But we can and should be honest. When Nintendo puts out a game that's probably going to run at 720p in Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, did you see what that game looked like running? Now, it may not be 4K 60 or whatever it is. Hardware? But I'm sorry to say that game is quite impressive.
Yeah,
And I can't wait.
On old hardware.
And old, I mean like super old hardware.
Oh, but Tears of the Kingdom is going to be 30. Yeah, because the Switch is an 8-year-old Android phone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on, guys. Like, what are you comparing it to? That is not the same comparison. And you don't even notice what the difference on a small screen like that. Like, guys, like, let's have a full breadth and honest conversation. That's all. That's the only point that Boom's making, that I'm making. It's about the conversation side of it.
Yes.
What's acceptable?
We can have a conversation and disagree. We can.
That's it. That's
yeah. No, good. Listen, this is why I was so glad to have you on today, specifically because you had to get yourself reared up and ready to go for Saturday's show, which I imagine Pong Soul is going to be as raw and uncut as you. I can't wait. I'll be tuning in and checking that out as well. Real quick, did I finish? We had another super chat pop in here, Fuzzy. Let me just grab that real quick, and we will. Gamer by Choice, brother, thank you so much for being here. Of course, thank you for the generosity, as always. He says, Microsoft, after dropping a $5 super chat, he says, Microsoft doesn't understand hardcore, gets disappointed when we know they can do better. Microsoft treats their non-gaming software that the same way, and it's annoying, and he's not wrong. I'm sorry. He's not wrong. Fuzzy, you are someone like Steel Rain that has a really good technical eye for certain things. And again, I don't think as an Xbox first fan that I should expect anything but top tier releases. And this is why I'm disappointed. Again, I'm not hating on the game. I'm not hating on Xbox. I'm not going to cut my Xbox in half with a chainsaw live on camera or anything stupid like that. But I'm entitled to give my opinion, and my opinion, unfortunately, is one of disappointment. And I'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, is this another black eye for Xbox first party to have a game come out under what is the standard for a box that can do 120 without even trying?
It definitely is a bit of a black eye, but I want to address the complaining about the complaining. Like, it boggles my mind. Like, some of these same individuals will cheer on their sports team and then be ready to throw their beer at the screen when they make a bad call. And they'll be the first ones to go on Twitter and talk about, oh, get rid of that coach and trade this player, or like, okay, everything is, you know, rainbows and sunshine with video games because, well, you don't mind 30 frames, but you know, the rest of those that do mind 30 frames, oh, well, they're just outrage. It's, you know, fake concern. Like, no, it's no more fake concern than your concern about, you know, the ref that made a bad call on your team or the coach that made a bad trade. Mm-hmm. So just grow up. That's first and foremost. But all of that aside, getting back to the root problem at hand, like, I'll be honest, like, I was a PC guy shortly after PS1, and then went back to console and PS3, and then been back and forth, you know, kind of off and on, but mainly console up until more recently. And, you know, as someone that played the Division 1 and the Division 2 when those originally launched on console with 30 frames, I didn't know any better. Like, I was having fun. It played great. I enjoyed it. Fast forward to when they finally did the 60 frames updates. Oh, it's like night and day. And the same thing goes for me being a racing fan. Like, the original Horizons, it's an arcade racer. There was no big deal. Like, Forza Motorsport, sure, 60 frames is the must. But Horizon, it's like, oh, look at the rocks that break when you row through them, and, you know, the trees and the shrub. No. Fast forward to, you know, when they did the 60 frame update on 4 and 5. Nah, never going back. Never going back. And it's like, the sad part is, by default, it defaults to, you know, the quality mode as opposed to performance mode. It is like the worst thing ever, and you notice it after that. Like, once you experience it in games you enjoy, you can't go back. Like, if you have to, you might, but then more times than not, you're going to wind up putting it down, or you're going to wind up just going through the motions until, oh, that's enough, and then move on to the next, you know, game, and more than likely it'll be a 60 frames game. Like, once you get that taste of that, there's no question how much of a benefit it is as far as just on your eyes. Because in some cases, people get like motion sickness or headaches and nausea from seeing something.
I actually had someone respond to me on that, saying that I can't play at 30. I literally get migraines from it. Someone actually wrote to me on that. So that's a fact, folks.
Yeah, so it's not this fake concern that some might think. And it's like, if you want to cheer on Xbox no matter what they do, when they start serving you poop on a platter, eat it up. Go ahead. No problem. But for me, I'm glad I didn't spend the $30 or the $27 after the discount on the bite back thing. Like, I usually wait on those until, like, if there's early access, I'll do it like the day before. Because one thing I've learned from Xbox, and this is not that, oh, I'm going to throw my Xbox out the window. No, that's not happening. But what they've taught me is wait. Don't give them money until you absolutely know that they're going to deliver on what they say they're going to deliver on. Exactly. And that's where some of the continued conversations and gripes come from, because it's like, okay, you delayed it for a year. You see how your fan base, and you've kind of led your fan base to believe that, you know, the standard was going to be 60 frames, especially with first party, like third party. Yes. You said, we're not making a mandate. They can, the dev, it's up to the devs, blah, blah, blah. You should make it a mandate for your first party. Like, it's your hardware. You put stuff on the box. You want to push, oh, it's the best experience or best place to play. Well, I guess it isn't the best place to play, because if you know what the funny thing is, Arkane, I guess it's the other studio, Arkane, or the other part of Arkane, they put Deathloop out on the PlayStation 5, and at launch that was at 60. Okay, No big deal, first person shooter, but it's not open world. Okay, it's kind of linear, but whatever. Hey, Ghostwire Tokyo, guess what? 60 frames at launch on PS5. But I thought the Xbox Series X was the greatest console in the world, or the most powerful.
You know, to add context to what you're saying, I pulled a story from Liam Doolin. This was written by purexbox.com. This was from May 8th, 2020. 60 FPS will become the standard output on Xbox Series X, says Aaron Greenberg. And he was responding to Nick 101 Gaming, who asked a question on May 7th, please force developers to give us choice of either higher performance or higher image quality. We need 60 FPS back in on consoles. Aaron Greenberg responded and said simply this, folks. 60 FPS will be the standard output, but the architecture allows us to support up to 120 frames per second, end quote. Folks, this is out there. This is, you know, I put it to this way. When the show is done, 10 more people are going to unsub, and I'm okay with it. I'd rather lose a sub for being honest and having integrity than gain one for lying and being a D-bag. So if you're going to unsub, I miss you, and I don't want anyone to unsub, but I'm not going to bow down. I'll take the L for the sub, but you want honesty, and I'm going to give that to you. But please, Fuzzy, continue.
And it's just funny to me that, you know, maybe PlayStation has its own mandate. Don't put anything on here that's like 30 frames, at least from Xbox Studios. Now, I know, yes, there's some independent games like that, the Dora the Explorer game that they had recently, that was 30 frames, and it was, you know, all crickets over there. But, you know, the thing that boggles my mind is that options have been what we've all asked for with these consoles. And now that we're getting closer to like the PC level of things, as far as the expectations and stuff, I get it. 4K is what they've been always pushing since the Xbox One X, but I would much rather have 1440p upscaled or 1800p upscaled. Cause my big thing is, now after experiencing 60, that should be the first priority. Then worry about the resolution, trying to get it as close to 4K. But before you really push to get it to 4K, add the extra bells and whistles, whether it be ray tracing, specular highlights, or particle effects and things like that. Those should be the things where we should really kind of nudge the devs into, let's make this look as great as it can with all the other details, as opposed to focusing on 4K. Because, yeah, 4K is great. That's awesome. But I would much rather have more particle effects, you know, ambient inclusion or occlusion and stuff like that, rather than full 4K. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't understand why. I mean, it's funny to me. They also waited until after they had like influencers fly out, which, by the way, they had them all play on PCs. No big deal, right? You know, because it's still in the works. It's not the final edition. So fine, have them play on PC. They're all experiencing it in 60 frames. Hey, and this is what it's going to be like on console. Maybe 6 months later when we figure out the patch.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about that too, Fuzzy, is that we're now hearing that the people who were flown out and played it on those PCs not only played it in 1080p, but also were not playing at a lock 60. The game was dropping.
Colt Eastwood said there were drops. Yeah.
So that what does that tell you, Fuzzy?
It sounds like 60 was that hope and a dream that I don't think they're going to be able to obtain in anything short of 6 months to a year. Like, I'm not trying to hash out, 343 shortcomings with Halo Infinite, where it's like, okay, we're going to have the co-op and ray tracing, which I don't even know. Did they? Well, I think they got the ray tracing in the story mode or in campaign, right? Or is that still not there? Because
I'm actually not sure. To be honest with you, I'm not even sure.
But it's like, I don't know. And I have the same gripe with third party as far as like incomplete launches. Like if the devs have learned anything after COVID and so forth, is they should definitely look at trying to ship the game and not have to worry about a day one patch. Like, and I understand in this market, it's probably a hard concept, but I would much rather them not tell me a release date until maybe 6 months out, when they already can kind of go gold and they're just, still polishing things, testing out gameplay, testing out game breaking bugs and things along those lines before they even get to that point. Like, I understand that would add to the other frustration. Well, when is this game coming out? Is it 2025, 2026? At this point, they might as well go to that method, because it's better to under promise and over deliver than it is to promise something within the 12-month window and it's still not complete. I mean, sure, they could delay it and that would push it out of the 12-month window. But at this point, with Starfield and probably Forza Motorsport being out of the 12-month window, and some of the third parties like Silksong being out of the 12-month window, at this point, I don't know. But for those that want to play it at 30 frames, more props to you. Enjoy it on launch day. I'll just wait and probably be enjoying other games. Like, I'm pretty sure Star Wars Survivor is 60, or at least has a 60 mode, but we'll see. I don't know. It's just mind-boggling to me. First party can't push the box that we bought for the next generation to next generation levels. Like, that's my bigger gripe, is like, why did you tell me that this is a new generation and this is a next generation only game when we don't have next generation features, really? But I've rambled enough. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I appreciate the honesty from both of you. Like I said, folks, I'm probably going to lose subs, and that's fine. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not going to cry over it. We'll get Mr. Boom tells me all the time, you lose two, you get five. I always thought, and at least for me personally, I have always sub channels and watched people's content because they're honest. Now, granted, I may not always agree with their opinion, but to outright suggest that this is some sort of a fake outrage thing, and you same folks are loving and eating, lapping up the PlayStation negativity. I don't know, man. I got to be honest with you. I think you're really selling yourself short, but it's fine. Listen, you're going to get honesty here. You're going to get integrity on this channel. If I said something that pissed you off, well, let's have a conversation about it. Unsub if you want. But I actually encourage you, hit the thumbs down button. Do me a favor. Hit it down. Say that this podcast sucked today because they told the truth. What can I tell you? I do want to get into Ubisoft Plus. The poll, folks, says it all. 78% of folks that are live in the chat here said, I don't want another sub, and that you're not getting Ubisoft Plus, where only a very, very small percentage says that they will. And that's awesome. I mean, listen, play, get what you want to get. Me, I've already subbed. I literally, right before I was going live on the air, I clicked it. And I'm already invested. I'm in. I like Ubisoft products. I've been a Ubisoft fan. Like I said, for me personally, it's actually saving me money, because I always buy the gold edition. So two gold editions that I would have bought this year after tax would have been about $220, right? And we are now in April, and we have another 8 months of the year. So if you just do the math, I'm actually going to be spending less on the two games that I would have purchased. Now, granted, of course, I want more content, but I also don't have to buy the DLC, which is also included. But before we get to that topic and we start talking about Ubisoft Plus finally coming to Xbox, I got to catch up on the Super Chats. We had Carl.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Boom, froze.
No.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a hostile takeover. I repeat, this is a hostile takeover. It is now me and Fuzzy's show. We're going to talk about Forza Horizon 5 and the builds that you now need to equip to your Lancers, to your Subarus, to I have a nice little Volkswagen build I put together, and I don't even tune vehicles, guys. Like, let me tell you, I put these dirt tires on this car, mind you. I had some regular slicks on there before, and man, the grip is just, it's leagues better, man. The drifting I can do now, it's just, I put a 7-speed transmission in there, Fuzzy. Like, it's just getting crazy, man. I dropped down at about third. I'm hitting these corners meaner than I've ever had before. And sorry, I'm just trying to, you know, keep everybody engaged. What's going on?
Yeah. But yeah, I think my big thing now is I'm worried, but also looking forward to Forza Motorsport. Like right now, I just hope they've seen some of the, you know, community requests as far as different things. Like we already know that they're supposedly working on the time of day change, as well as things along the lines of like practice and qualifying. Like qualifying, I think, is going to be one of the big add-ons, whether they do it just for online or if they do it for both online as well as in the, you know, main campaign or the career mode. I think having it where you can qualify and possibly even modify the list for if you want to do a custom race. So that way you can adjust, okay, I want to start at the tail end of the field, or I want to start mid-pack. And then, you know, possibly like pick and arrange like the different cars you race against. I think that's one of the features that I'm most hopeful that they include, because I've enjoyed things like that in Project Cars. And I know Project Cars is far from being, you know, the racing sim of choice for a lot of people, but some of their features I wish would, you know, appear in other games. Like Gran Turismo has done it a little bit where you can do custom races, pick different, you know, cars. You can basically, if you have the car in the garage, you can race against it, set up the tune for it, and then make it so you can recreate like an IMSA race or stock car race. Although,
hey, he's back. Woo!
You know what happened? I saw someone running from the building holding an axe, and they cut the lines because I was talking negatively about Xbox. Let me just set this back up, folks. Hold on just a second. That's weird. Usually the software is pretty dependable. And, well, you know, this shit, you know, this kind of stuff happens.
It's all good. Me and Fuzzy took over.
Yeah, I saw that.
Forza, and, you know, we're going to take it a whole different direction. Don't worry.
Yeah, so, okay. So, again, folks, before I was rudely interrupted by the assassin who cut the lines so I couldn't talk bad about Xbox, we're going to get into Ubisoft Plus. But before I get there, folks, I do got to catch up on Super Chats. And there's been quite a few of them, and honestly, I can't thank you enough. Let's see. Let me just catch up, folks. I apologize for the tardiness, if you will. There's been a lot of super. Okay, you know what? I have to go into YouTube.
Go up to the comments for Danny. I think Danny Passion.
I'm actually going to my YouTube studio right now. I'll pull it up everything from there, folks. Yeah, thank you for bearing with us on what happened with my live show, which I can't believe it actually happened. I'm actually very disappointed. Okay, so let me just get up to the supers, and yes, here they are right here. I got them in front of me. Before I was so rudely interrupted by the assassin, Carl Andrews Jr. dropped a very generous $2 super chat and says, overall, this is bad. This is a bad move, and they should have delayed it. Yeah, I mean, I agree with the delay thing as well, but if people are going to enjoy it, and if you, that's good, if you're going to enjoy it in 30,
I enjoy it.
How you're going to enjoy it. I'm just going to wait for the patch. I'm just fine. I am running through Resident Evil 4 again to get unlimited rocket launcher, which I'm close. That is hard, dude. Like that on hard, it's hard. I got to go through Dead Space. I'm at the last boss of Hi-Fi Rush. I got tons of games to play. I'll play it when the 60 patch hits. That's fine. Jonas the Dad drops a $2 super chat and says, why is Phil letting this happen? Hit the like button. Yeah, this is, you know, I saw some people in the chat say this is more of a Bethesda thing. And I do agree and I do subscribe that it is a Bethesda thing because Bethesda has its own leadership. Todd Howard and Pete Hines are amazing at what they do. I'm sure they're disappointed, folks. I know they have to be. So who's really responsible? Ultimately, it's probably going to fall onto Phil only because he's a leader. You know, he is the head dude at Microsoft Game Studios. You know what I'm saying? So they have to report to Phil, and Phil has to make the call. They're putting it out. It is what it is. Our good friend, Jonas the Dad. I actually just read that one. The Black Harry Potter. Welcome back, brother. How are you? He says this after dropping a $5 super chat, folks. I understand the frustration about the 30 frames per second, but I just want to kill vampires. So in my opinion, I am still going to play it, and that's awesome. But he also wants to elaborate that Hogwarts Legacy is still Game of the Year. I'd love that, brother. Yeah, the Decado drops a very generous $10 super chat and says, bad news aside, everyone wish Timoth an old man status today. That's right. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, brother. I don't know how old you are, but I can guarantee you're not as old as Boom, which I'm going to be 53 this year. Yikes. But listen, thank you so much for the very generous $10 super chat, Decado. And of course, once again, happy birthday to Timoth. Bone Slave, a good friend of the program, drops a $5 super chat and says this: Xbox first new AAA exclusive IP since Quantum Break, and they disappoint us again. Announcing a 60 FPS patch is admitting the game will be unfinished at launch. And he's not wrong, folks. Gamer by Choice, a very generous friend of the program, drops a $10 super chat and says, I am old. I cannot tell the difference between 30 and 60 in games without Digital Foundry, but I understand why people want better from Xbox. Normies, though, don't care about FPS if the game is pretty, and that I absolutely agree. If the normie audience plays this game, which, here's the thing, this game is going to be what the kids like to call niche. Mrs. Boom hates that terminology. She says, I don't like it, and you know what? It's fine, but the niche aspect of Arcane games is that they'll have 3 to 4 million people play it. It'll, like I said, it will be critically loved, mostly critically loved by the community as well as the gaming media, but it doesn't sell a lot. Even Deathloop didn't sell 10 million copies, and Deathloop was a Game of the Year nominee. Mm-hmm. Silent Cypher drops a very generous $10 super chat and says, my hope is twofold. One, they see this blowback and do the right thing and delay the game if it needs more time. Two, this resonates with Microsoft and they course correct for the benefit of their devs and consumers. Dude, that's beautiful. That is fantastic. Holy cow, Shooter 2853, brother, how the heck are you? I hope that you're well and that your ticker is doing much better than it was a couple of months ago. Great to see you in the chat. And of course, thank you for the generosity as always, Shooter. He drops a $10 super chat and says, good morning, Boom, Mrs. Boom, Steel Rain, and Fuzzy. Had my spinal fusion 15 hours ago.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. And so I'm watching from my ICU bed. Hope that you were well. Dude, I didn't know you were going for surgery again. Well, and unfortunately, shout out to you for being here, dropping a super chat, but even listening. I know what you're going through, brother, because I had a double spinal fusion in 2014, which cost me my NYPD career. And how did that happen? In the most ridiculous way. I was going in during a blizzard here in the city. And for the NYPD, they have something called no excusals, meaning that we are first responders, so there's no excuse. We have to get in to do our job. And I slipped on black ice and wind up contorting myself where I popped my L4. So I needed to be fused L4, L5, S1. And when I came out, when I got, you know, healthy again after 6 months, the NYPD basically said, we appreciate your 21 years of service, but you can't do it anymore. And they were not wrong. just couldn't do it anymore. So I retired and here I am. But hopefully you get much better and that you are recovering quickly. You got to do that therapy, brother, even if it hurts. I guarantee you they had you walking around the next. They'll have you walking around tomorrow. That's what happened with me. Very, very painful. Take your time, Shooter. We love you. Feel better, brother. Highlander 001 drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, if I wanted to hear BS, I would go to a pony show. Thank you, brother. I definitely appreciate that. Chris R drops a very generous $5 super chat. Thank you. So thanks for being here, Chris. Thank you for the generosity. He says, has the ABK drama caused Xbox to take their eye off the ball with Game Pass? It seems like the momentum has been stagnant since the announcement. You know what? I don't necessarily agree so much with that, Chris. I think that, at least for me, and again, every game is different. Every gamer is different, I should say. I feel that Game Pass has been on fire. Now, maybe not every game is Call of Duty AAA level. Mm-hmm. I think that the output, at least, again, for me, has been well worth my money. The Black Harry Potter, I always chuckle when I hear that. I don't know why. Drops an additional, very generous $2 super chat and says, way to step in and lead Steel. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Steel Rain. But listen, Steel, let's get to you, brother. You have been a subscriber to Ubisoft Plus for years. Mm-hmm. You have a pretty decent PC that can take advantage of the games that are in there. On PC, it is $14.99 per month, which I think for day and date drops and all of the DLC and the bells and whistles, at least for me, it's worth it. For Xbox, which was released Shadow Drop basically today, it is $17.99 for both PC and Xbox. But you can also play on, I don't know why you would, but you can also play on Amazon Luna as well. Yes, so you have multiple places you can play for $18. Now, there are going to be some folks in here, and by the poll being 78% versus 22% of don't buy versus buy. I hear people don't want another near $20 subscription added to their already ridiculous amount of subscriptions. For me personally, I need it because I'm a fan, but I also need it because I have to talk about what's going on. And at the end of the day, it's part of what we do here at Double Barrel Gaming. So I was subscribing anyway. Steel, is $18 a big ask? What are your thoughts on this Shadow Drop today?
Personally, I do think that $18 is quite a big ask, especially for something, a service by itself. Now, again, I posed this question to you behind the scenes, Boom, just to kind of gauge how big of an Ubisoft fan you are, with already knowing that how invested that you do tend to get in those games. Mainly because this service is more so for folks, and this is part of the reason why I've kind of stayed invested, who don't necessarily always either get to play their games day one, or maybe there's a bunch of DLC expansions for different games that you want to try. The biggest example that I always go to, for example, is like the Ghost Recon games, Wildlands and Breakpoint. Neither one I had a chance to play when they released, but since have received a ton of different updates, a ton of different expansions and whatnot. And Ubisoft Plus allowed me for that $14.99 a month on PC to jump into those games with content complete and experienced pretty much the full breadth of those games, or at least I had access to that. Now, on a more consumer front, though, Ubisoft hasn't put out enough games to necessarily, in my opinion, to condone the price tag of that $17.99 that they're asking for. I know a lot of us were had conversation about this previously, and we were kind of hoping that it would be maybe an addition to what you can have with Game Pass Ultimate, kind of like what we see with EA, but more maybe in the lines of like a $4.99, maybe even a $9.99 add-on at most, because at that point, it can be extremely beneficial to you, right? It's one of those things, you don't have to keep it. You could pay, you could do it. It's just like Game Pass. You could do it for a month. You play, you know, Assassin's Creed Origins, for an example, which is another game I had a chance to jump into, which I didn't play on first day, but I played it years later. you have the chance to play those games 100 to full completion within that month and then unsubscribe. And all you have to do is pay that $14.99 or now $17.99 for it. So a lot of it is going to be perspective. If you haven't played a lot of these Ubisoft games, you haven't played an Assassin's Creed in a while, you haven't played a Ghost Recon in a while, those are the main two that really come to mind, because outside of that, unless you're looking for like The Crew, which honestly, I'd rather play Horizon than play The Crew, in my personal opinion. But just depending on what you're looking for, there is tons of value to be had there. But as something to be added on, I do think that the price point is a bit high, especially with everything that Ubisoft is currently going through. I can't think, well, there is a game that I'm currently under NDA for that I can't speak on, that I don't think is going to do well for them either, or bode well, or cause people to want to invest within the ecosystem of Ubisoft Plus, which is going to be another miss. And with them asking for this type of price tag and not knowing really what their future is, again, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora was pushed back to an unknown date. X-Defiant, Dusty, which Dusty just mentioned, has gone through multiple closed betas.
What about the pirate betas game? The
unfortunately,
Skull and Bones is another one that got delayed.
Yeah, that's another one that's coming. That I can't speak on. I'll let you say it. I can't. But it's one of those things to where until they provide people with more of a reason to jump in outside of, if you haven't played these games before, I don't know if this is going to jump their subscriber count up. But we also don't know what their goal is with this. Is this just a benefit that they're trying to add on seemingly for the Xbox subscriber? Because at that point, asking them to pay 35, almost 40 bucks a month for this, that can be quite a bit of a steep ask, especially when you compare it to like a Game Pass Ultimate that has a lot of variants in it, a lot of different titles in it, games coming in all the time. There's a lot that's on the table, and it does kind of put into question for me, what is Ubisoft's true goal? And if anything, still, it still has that picture with a very tinted film on that I can't see through. So,
no, I mean, you make a great point. I think you make a greater point than even me, who's the host here. I never even considered, Steele, that when you consider both subscriptions together at $15 for Game Pass and then $19 after tax for your, you know, it depending, you know, again, it's almost a $40 investment per month, right? You have to ask yourself, folks, are you a Ubisoft fan? Because this is you have to be a fan like me. Like I said, folks.
Yeah.
For me personally, giving you what my buying practices are when it comes to Ubisoft first party is almost 9 out of 10 times, and usually it's 10 out of 10 times. Like even The Crew, I didn't know how great or not great that game was going to be, but I'm such a Ubisoft fan that I bought the $100 gold edition, which is normal for me. That's normal buying for me because I really enjoy, like for instance, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, for instance. I have over 40 days in that, folks. Go to my YouTube. Go check it out. I have a ridiculous amount of days because it's my favorite in the entire series. There wasn't anything about that I did not like. And then comes along the one with the Vikings, and I bought the $100 edition. I'm like, this is going to be great. 20 plus hours in, I was like, this sucks. I just could not get into Valhalla. I don't know why. I don't know if it was the characters. I don't know if it was the era. I don't know. I just could not get into it. So, again, this is just another choice, which I think choice is important for gamers. Just like if you have your go-to movie, whatever it is for you. Is it Disney Plus? Is it Netflix? Is it Hulu? Is it Amazon Prime? you know, Mrs. Boom and I are huge movie buffs, and that's what we usually do. And we're even more into foreign, like our thing is K-dramas. Like we watch them all the time, and we don't do the American voiceovers because they're terrible. We actually love the subtitles, and we've watched in the last year 60 of them, maybe even more. It's our go-to thing. It's what we do when I'm not podcasting and I'm chilling with Mrs. Boom. We're watching films, or we're watching our favorite pastime, which is K-dramas. That's just what we do. And I don't mind paying it because I know I'm going to get full advantage of it. If Ubisoft doesn't, you know, if it's not your publisher of choice, maybe one game is. This service is definitely not for you. But if you are a fan of The Division, if you are a fan of The Crew or Rainbow Six or, you know, any of the other games that they have out, specifically the Assassin's Creed series, this is definitely worth your time, especially if you don't have many of these in your personal collections.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, that's definitely the. So let me just. This big super chat came in from Reggie Mobile 9. In fact, let me just make sure that. Well, first of all, Reggie Mobile, brother, thank you so much for being here as always. And thank you for the generosity. He says this, folks: great show, Boom and Crew. I may be on the other side of the argument, but it's always great to see you and the team fairly critique the platform that we love. Absolutely. You don't fake the funk salute. And that's. I appreciate the comp. I mean, as great as the $10 super chat is, it is the commentary that is extremely welcomed for sure. Let's see. Highlander 001 drops a $2 super chat and says hearts and best. Well, he says hearts for Shooter. Absolutely, brother. That is very kind of you. And of course, yeah, hearts, prayers, and well wishes. Let's see. Jason Redman drops a $5 super chat and says a game getting upgraded doesn't mean a game wasn't finished. It means it's getting updated. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see that. I mean, it's releasing. It's going to probably look really good at 30 frames. It's going to be, if you're into more of a visual fidelity, it's going to definitely hit for you. If you want speed, you're going to have to wait. So, again, it's really the eye of the beholder. Jacob Novick drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, Ubisoft Plus screams value to me. 60 FPS would have been a norm. It should have been a norm by now. Yeah, I agree there. I think it. I mean, Aaron Greenberg said it was, and that was from 2020. That was at the launch of the console. It was expected that 60 FPS, not 4K 120, 60 FPS at least is expected. And again, it's gonna be high and low on what opinions you have. If you agree, awesome. If you don't agree, that's even better. Let's have a conversation. Fantas Archer drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, the problem with Microsoft is they can't give the perception of being rich and evil. They try to be the nice guys. Meanwhile, Sony and Nintendo play to win. I mean, there's definitely something to say about the way that those two companies do their business. I think Sony's more of a D-bag, to be honest, with the way they rake their players and consumers over the coals. I don't know. Microsoft, listen, we just want better, man. And I know that Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond and Aaron Greenberg and Matt Booty and everyone over at your team Xbox want their fans to feel like they're getting the best value and the best games in what I believe is the best platform. I like Xbox for a multitude of reasons. Some are more personal than others, but for first party and for the way that they, you know, they celebrate the gamers, which is definitely high on the list for me. But Fuzzy, let's get your hot take and we'll get everyone out of here. Where does Ubisoft Plus fall for you? Because obviously you talked about specifically you can't wait for the family plan to be released because, right, you know, you have two older boys, you game, they game, you're paying separate subscriptions because everybody wants to do their own thing. And now Ubisoft is asking for $18 or $19 a month for the service. I don't know if you've had it on PC, but to get the Xbox, Amazon Luna, and PC version, which is only two tiers. It's either PC at $15 or this $18 one. Does this hit for you?
Unfortunately, no. And the main reason being is I'm also a big Ubisoft fan, to the point where pretty much every game that they've offered that I've wanted to play, I already own. And much like you, with the exception, I think, of the most recent Far Cry, I think that's like the only one I didn't buy, like the $100 edition. I think I bought like the step down or whatever. But everything else, it's like, well, all the Tom Clancy stuff, it's like, actually, in some cases, the $150 edition and also additional seasonal stuff. So I already own all the Tom Clancy games that I wanted. I already own all of the Assassin's Creed. Like, there was two that I didn't particularly care for, but the boys wanted, so I own it through that way. but for me, there really isn't much that they're going to be offering that I don't already have that I'm looking forward to that isn't a free-to-play. Like, right now, my most anticipated game that's within, I guess, a recent release or should be recent release, provided that something doesn't go awry, which kind of like would steal NDAs and whatnot, but it's a free-to-play game. So it doesn't make sense for me to subscribe to get a discount on some of the, I guess, virtual coins or whatever for right. that game, because you know that's going to be in there at some point. But it is great to have those options. And maybe when they get to the release cadence of, you know, years ago kind of thing, when there's like a, you know, Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Yeah, that's like thing, 4 to 5 games per year. Yes.
Yeah, when they get back to that type of cadence, then this will more than likely be the go-to at that point. But right now, they really don't have that much on the horizon. Like, Skull and Bones, I'm not really looking forward to. Like, its original iteration that they had talked about from Black Flag would have kind of been there, but I've since kind of moved on from ship battle stuff. So, the games that they said that they're working on as far as Assassin's Creed, yeah, I'm looking forward to those. And
maybe you sub when those come out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to wind up happening, because more times than not, like, I still have like leftover like virtual cash or whatever for some of the Assassin's Creeds, for some of the skins for the horses or the armor and stuff like that. So it's like, we'll see how it goes, but it's great to have options. I wish they would have added another option, like maybe a $5 rider to Game Pass Ultimate subscribers. Like, I get it. They want the full boat of money for, you know, from the Xbox.
They're hurting. That's why they didn't do that. There's no doubt about it. They are financially hurting because they haven't had a game release in quite a bit.
Yeah. But if they ever do update or change where, all right, you're a Game Pass subscriber, pay an extra $5 a month and get, you know, access to like the most basic tier, then I'd be fine. And I think that would be, I'm hoping that that's something that they consider down the road, especially looking at what EA went through with their.
Yeah, because remember, we used to have to pay $5 a month or $60 a year for EA Play.
Yeah.
And they eventually rolled that into Xbox Game Pass because Xbox made a deal with EA. I would love for the Ubisoft Plus Maximum Edition to be offered to us who are our ultimate subscribers for like maybe $10.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Ubisoft would eat the $7 or the $9 after tax. I think that would be worth, I think that'd be a great move, actually.
That definitely would be a much better value adder at that point. And I think if they look at what EA has done, because EA has even said that this roll in with the subscription stuff has benefited them, because even though people aren't buying the game, let's say day one, or if they are, because a lot of people still buy Madden day one, they're saving $10 or 10% or something like that. Great. But they're still buying, you know, the My Team packs and things like that. So they're making money. I won't say hand over fist, but they're doing pretty good for themselves compared to what they would do with just the subscription model. So we'll see how it pans out. Applaud them on the options. Was hoping for a few more options, but man, where is this family plan thing? Like, it's I don't know.
We're all waiting.
Hopefully, by E3 we hear about it or something.
Yeah, I think again, it's launched in multiple countries and regions. It's time, Xbox. The family plan is going to save a lot of people a lot of money, and I think you're going to see the subscriptions go up. Because, you know, again, if you are someone like Fuzzy, who actually needs a family plan. Shout out to Web Dave also, who was like, hey, listen, you know, my wife plays, I play, my daughter plays, maybe they're going to put their an extra neighbor on, you know, everyone could go in. It's more subs. And obviously it's potentially more consumer, you know, more customers. I think they need to do this. But listen, folks, we ran a little bit over. More normally it's like a 70-minute show, but I want to get to two super chats that popped in here and then we'll get everyone out of here. Ben Riley drops a very generous £5 super chat and says, I don't think it's a gamer problem. I think it's a Twitter problem. It's like a burning cauldron gets everyone angry. You never know. Jason Redmom drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, liking the show, but got to play more games later. Later, Jason, thank you so much for the super chat. And of course, thank you for being a part of the conversation. Edwin Garcia, what's going on, Edwin? How the heck are you? Welcome to the program. He drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, Phil acts like the CEO of gaming as a whole rather than the CEO of Xbox. I miss the Peter Moore days. Look, I love Peter Moore, but I think Phil Spencer is exactly what Xbox needed when they needed it. I still think he is an amazing leader. He's, again, you know, he's trying to close a $70 billion deal, which he's never done before. I don't know if I'm ever going to do that. Probably unlikely, but he's running the studios. Matt Booty is running it. He obviously, those attached to Xbox Game Studios. Bethesda's being run by Todd Howard and Pete Hines. At the end of the day, yes, people are going to look at Phil for the ultimate, you know, the definitive decision because he is the head of Microsoft Gaming. But again, this is I do agree that this might be a more of a Bethesda problem, but still, everyone needs to take responsibility and just put your best foot forward when developing, especially when it's Xbox first party. That's all I'll say. But Steel Rain, brother, let's sell your brand. Talk about where people can check you and Pong Soul out each and every Saturday morning with the new and great episodes of Living Split Screen. And where can people reach out to you on social media?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, so it was an amazing conversation to have today, no matter how people feel. Again, it's all for the sake of conversation. We can always agree to disagree. This is a hobby at the end of the day. And I just want us to be able to stand for our hobby and talk about the things that we personally believe in. But with that being said, every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern, and 3 p.m. UK time, I am one of the hosts for a non-console-centric platform known as Living Split Screen. Again, home of the RTS view. That's real-time strategy, pulling yourself out of the world, looking at the darker crevices of the map, pulling those resources together so that we can not only build up our own foundation, but build up the foundation so we could potentially reach those 3 billion gamers that Phil Spencer always talks about. And other than that, you can find me, Steel Rain, I, the T is a 7 everywhere. The easiest place to type it in is going to be Google. I frequent the streets of Twitter. And other than that, if you're trying to get to me directly, more so if outside of Twitter, it's going to be within the Xbox ecosystem. Send a message through. It's one of the things that makes it so great. Because I have direct access to it on PC. It's always up and running in the background, for better or for worse. So it always looks like I'm online, even when I'm not. But yeah, send a message through. I'm not somebody that hides from people. I like to message people back. But other than that, thank you everybody who came and tuned in today to check out the show with Mr. Boomstick XL. Again, Boom is a pillar to our community. We just want you guys who are part of the community to understand that we're doing this for the sake of conversation and because we love the hobby.
Yes. With that, yes, absolutely.
Much love.
Thank you, brother, for the compliment. And yes, you know, again, we're here for you folks. All of us that are content creators that you tune into on this show and other shows, folks, at the end of the day, we are fans of the industry. We love this industry, which is why we dedicate so much of our personal time to putting on these shows. So, of course, a big thank you to everyone that tuned in. Fuzzy Belvedere, sell your brand, brother. You'll be back with me again tomorrow morning on Breakfast with Boom, where we're going to be talking about Sony pulling Spider-Man from their service. I don't understand that. That, to me, is a big, big L. First party is supposed to stay. And I'm a subscriber, folks. I paid $120 at the beginning of this year for – and again, I own most of the games. But, you know, maybe they'll get into day and date. Maybe they'll get into third party, second party day and date, which is why I subbed in the first place. But to pull Spider-Man in the same year that Spider-Man 2 is expected is grimy. We're going to talk about that in real big detail tomorrow morning on Breakfast at Boom. Fuzzy, sell your brand, brother. Talk about your incredible YouTube channel where it's the best place for everything racing. And where can people reach out to you on social media?
I just want to start off by thanking you for having me on. And it's always awesome being on here with you, Boom, as well as with Steel. Man, I know we have some strong opinions on our stuff, and I greatly appreciate all of those in the chat, you know, checking us out, listening to our gripes and thoughts and things like that. And respectfully, whether you agree or disagree, hey, we're all into gaming. It just comes down to we want the best for our preferred platform. But man, for those that want to hear any more of my rambles or rants or anything gaming related, definitely follow me on Twitter at @Fuzzy_Belvedere, as well as on YouTube, same thing, @Fuzzy_Belvedere. Look forward to seeing everybody here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Breakfast with Boom. And then I'm going to try to see if I can make Xbox Ultimate. Wife is kind of taking me to the Bruce-a-rama, so I might not.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, if not, definitely check out Xbox Ultimate at 10 p.m. on Fun Speculations channel. And then you can find me on the Shop Podcast Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on PTK Blam channel with me, PTK Blam, and Pong. And man, just enjoy your weekend, everyone. Enjoy gaming. And look forward to what is the non-E3 coming up soon
for
Xbox and Ubisoft and the rest. So take
care. Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much for that. Real quick, Jason BS in the chat. Where's that outrage for Quantum Break? Well, I gave it to them. And the reason why it was pulled was due to some licensing issues for the actor that passed away. And it is coming back as soon as those licensing issues are rectified with the family. So it wasn't nefariously done. It was done for the reason of, well, the actor that was a major part in that game passed away. So Sony pulling Spider-Man from PlayStation is ridiculous simply because, well, it's a first party game and they're pulling it so they can make people buy it or charge you for it when they do their combo pack of Spider-Man 2018 Miles Morales and Spider-Man 2 for, I don't know, $120. So if you don't own it, you have to buy it, and you can buy it here instead of finding it in your service that you pay for. And at least I pay for the top tier service. So I don't know. I think you're a little off the mark there, Jason. I think that one is much different than the other. Sony is just being Sony, and Microsoft and Remedy had to do it because of the licensing situation with a very unfortunate situation. So it's really two different tales. But, you know, listen, I gave them the same business. I think that's ridiculous. But, you know, this is out of respect to the family. So it's got to be done. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, making this show, over 500 people were here today. I can't thank you enough for that. I cannot thank you enough for the unbelievable support through Super Chat and channel membership. Obviously, we are able to do a lot of really big things. This year alone, Mrs. Boom and I have already spent over $1,000 in artwork being done for the channel. And that we can't do normally without the help of you fine folks. So thank you so much for that. And of course, folks, I'm going to close out the show with something that's important to me. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And my dad taught us this when we were kids. I think it's now more relevant than ever. Treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X-Vlog Live.